beginning with the 10th verse through the end of the chapter. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house, and do not give him a greeting. For the one who gives him a greeting participates in his evil deeds. Having many things to write to you, I do not want to do so with paper and ink. But I hope to come to you and speak face to face, that your joy may be made full. The children of your chosen sister greet you. And we conclude there this morning the reading of the Epistle of 2 John. Last week, our topic was going too far. Going too far. This week, we're going to deal with another topic in our text, and we need to pray that God will help us not to go too far as we deal with this particular text. In verse 11, Paul writes to this woman, this elect lady, this chosen lady, chosen by God to receive His Spirit and to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and become part of His kingdom. He tells her, that she is not to receive anyone who brings a false teaching into our house or give them a greeting, for the one who gives him a greeting participates in his evil deeds. Now, to be honest with you, that's a rather startling statement. I want you to realize what he's saying here. Simply to give a greeting to a false prophet is to participate with this false prophet in his evil deeds. Actually, the word there, participate, is the same word that's used throughout the New Testament, koinonia, which is often used as Christians fellowshipping one with another. You fellowship, you participate, you contribute with a man who is doing evil simply by greeting him. That's rather shocking. Especially since we are told in our society that we should be nice to everyone. And yet John says, if a man comes to you with a false teaching, don't even say, have a good day. Because if you do, you are having fellowship with him in his work. It's rather restrictive. Does John mean that simply to say hello to a false prophet is actually to participate and share and to promote what a false prophet is doing? Well, it sure sounds like it. At least on the surface, it sure sounds like it. And we'll be looking at that this morning. If a mere greeting is sin, if a mere greeting is sin, what about friendship? What about association? What about contractual relationships? They must be even worse if a mere greeting is to be considered participation, having fellowship in evil deeds. And that's why I say this morning we must be careful that we don't go too far here, okay? We could take this passage and run way beyond the Scriptures. God help us not to go too far with what is being said here. God help us to deal with the text without denying the actual intent of the text. And it is a good question. At what point does our association, our connection, our relationship with others become sinful? This woman is called to be separate from these false prophets, which brings up the whole issue of separation. To what extent are we to separate ourselves from others? We all know as believers we are to separate ourselves from the ways of the world. But to what extent are we to separate ourselves from other people? That's a good question. There are some denominations that believe in first degrees of separation, that you shouldn't separate yourself with quote-unquote liberals. And there are some denominations that believe in second-degree separation, that you shouldn't associate with people who are conservative but who associate with liberals. And there could be a third-degree or fourth-degree separation. That's a good question. To what degree do we separate ourselves from others? Not just from the ways of the world, but from another person. One thing we know for sure, this is a classic degree of separation here. Don't even give a greeting. Don't entertain the man. Don't let him into your house. Don't say, have a nice day. Because even doing that, you have become part of the fellowship of the devil. That's what he says. I don't know how to make it say anything else, which I shouldn't make it say anything else anyway, but again, the point I want to get to this morning is that we must be careful not to carry this principle too far, to go beyond the Scriptures. And so we're going to look at the text in a little more detail. We're going to look at some examples of how it is possible to go too far with this text even, and then look at some applications of the text in the time in which we live. Notice the center of the focus of the text is the deceiver in verse 7, where many deceivers have gone out into the world. They are teaching such things as, in verse 9, that Christ did not come into the flesh, or verse 7. That Christ did not come into the flesh. That's the context. That's the type of person you're dealing with. This is a nth degree separation. Don't even say hello. But we must not carry that too far. What we're dealing with here is an elect lady and a deceiver, a false prophet in the church who denies the very basics of the gospel. To deny that Jesus came in the flesh is to deny the gospel. And these are not confused people, these are deceived people. They have an agenda. They go out in the world and desire to deceive God's elect, which is impossible, but they will make an attempt. And they can do great damage. So when we talk about separation in this passage, we must read it in the context of this one particular type of person. We're not talking about separation from unbelievers. You know, we can't be around unbelievers type thinking. We're not even talking about separation from Christians who are misled. There are Christians who have been misled down erroneous theological paths and end up in all type of difficult situations. We're not talking about criminals. We encourage to visit those who are in prison. But we are talking about false prophets. And if you know somebody who's a false prophet, disguising himself as a Christian, and has the desire to deceive, then the nth degree of separation is demanded of you. Don't even let him into your house. Don't even give him a greeting. Thus, this particular separation, to prevent us from going too far here, is a separation from one particular type of person. The false prophet who has the desire to deceive and to deny the gospel of Jesus Christ, yet who comes to you in the name of Christ, have nothing to do with that man. We're not even talking here about people of other religions. We're not talking about Muslims. You know, if it comes down to it, Paul is saying, look, you can have a Muslim into your house. You can have a Turk. Used to call, that's what the Muslim names used to be. They were the Turks because they controlled Turkey and the Ottoman Empire. That's why they were called the Turks. And those who lived at the time of the Reformation were greatly fearful of the Muslims, the Turks. Read their writings. They pray for the Turks. They warn people about the Turks. Those of the Islam religion. But John is not even saying here you can't entertain a Turk. He's not saying you can't entertain an atheist. He's not saying you can't say hello and have a nice day to an atheist. Even Osama bin Laden, you can even entertain in your house. You can even give him a greeting. I don't know if you want to say have a nice day or not, but you could, and not really break what the spirit of what he's saying here. What he's saying here, particularly, is a reference to a false prophet in the church. And to expand it beyond that is to go too far, is to go beyond the Scriptures. And so this concept of separation, we must be careful with that we don't go so far that we can't have anything to deal with anybody who doesn't believe like we believe. Paul makes that plain in two passages, and I'll read those to you very quickly. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, the 9th verse, he says this in the context of a discipline case that demanded excommunication from the church. He warns the people not to go too far, as we have a tendency to do, especially in our circles. Okay? We have a tendency to go too far. And he says, look, you're to put the evil man outside the church. This is a man living in incest, claims to be a Christian, will not repent. He's to be disciplined and put out of the church. You've not done that. And he says, look, you better do that before I get there. I'm coming to visit you, and it better be taken care of before I get there. And he says, but now look, I want you to be careful not to go too far with this principle. He says in the 9th verse of chapter 5, I wrote you in my letter not to associate with immoral people. I did not at all mean with the immoral people of this world, or with the covetous and swindlers, or with idolaters, for then you would have to go out of the world. You see what people are saying? God demands separation. He even demanded separation from this person in our church who is living in fornication, adultery, incest. And so if God demands separation from this person, then we ought to separate ourselves from all immoral people. And Paul says, no, you've gone too far. He said, that's even impractical. He said, you'd have to leave the world to do that. That's not what I meant. I did not mean the immoral people of this world. I didn't mean covetous and swindlers. Even swindlers, you have to associate with swindlers. Shysters. You've got to associate with those people. If you're going to live in the world, if you're going to work, go to work, have a job, you're going to live with all type of people. Immoral people, people who hate God, people who are atheists. That's not what I meant. You've gone too far. And he goes on and says, but actually, I wrote you not to associate with any so-called brother. if he should be an immoral person or covetous or idolater or a reviler or a drunkard or a swindler, not even to eat with such a one. See, when you become a Christian, you join the church and you fall back into these type of sins. Paul says, we have nothing to do with you. That is a requirement for separation. Somebody joins our church, they make profession of faith, we find out that they are a drunkard, they won't repent, we find out they are a swindler, they are cheaters, living in adultery, they won't repent. It's our duty to make sure that they are put out of the church. We do not eat with them. We do not associate with them. There is a separation of God which is demanded. But God says, look, if they're not Christians, you can associate with them. Even that man that lives down the road here, you know, who has five wives at the same time, I work with that man. I have to associate with that man. And God says, that's fine. That's fine. There's no problem with that. This concept of separation is separation not from the world or the people of the world, but is from those who make professions of faith and then fall back into sin without repentance, or those who come to you as false prophets. You're not to eat with them. You're not to entertain them. You're not even to give them a greeting. So, don't go too far. Don't go too far and say, well, this man's a criminal. Can't associate with him. If he's not a professing Christian, you've got to associate with him. He's your next door neighbor. Thus, avoidance or separation is from the unrepentant professing Christian or false prophet. 2 Thessalonians 3:14, we see here another example where Paul calls for a separation. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 14. And the context here, the context is always important. Paul is talking about a man who professes to be a Christian but who will not work. He won't go to work. I mean, that's what we're talking about here. He will not hold down a job. He's lazy. And yet he says he's a Christian. What does Paul say to do? 2 Thessalonians verse 3, or chapter 3, verse 14. If anyone does not obey our instruction in this letter, take special note of that man and do not associate with him so that he may be put to shame. Hopefully he'll repent. He'll go to work. And when you get a job, you can come back into this church and you can take communion with us. When you get a job, we'll welcome you back. But when you refuse to work, we must separate ourselves from you. Now, if you're not a believer and won't work, we can associate with you. We can associate with you if you're not a believer. Otherwise, we have to leave the world. So, we need to be careful here not to go too far. This concept of separation, this concept of avoidance, is specifically designated for certain people, especially those who claim to be the great teachers in the church and deny the very essence of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it doesn't give us a right to separate ourselves from people in the world who may be immoral, swindlers, adulterers, drunkards. We have to associate with them and live with them and participate with them in many things that we do together. Also note in our text, the word greeting there may mean more than simply hello. We can also push that maybe a little far. I think we have to read it in the context. And it follows what John there speaks of as entertaining someone or receive him into your house. Verse 10, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house and do not give him a greeting. And we probably can make an association with greeting and entertainment. Welcome. You know those little mats in front of everyone's house that says, welcome. You see him coming, you take that mat and you hide it. And when he's gone, you can put the mat back out and says, welcome to my house. A greeting is an initial invitation to be a part of our home. And so therefore, I'm not so sure that simply a greeting is the issue here, but a greeting that is involved and leads to an acceptance. You're one of us, and you're welcome in our home. Typically, in the context in which the New Testament was written, most Christians who were preachers were traveling around and were very much dependent upon the hospitality of the Christians in the local churches. Typically, they didn't have a Holiday Inn or Ramada Inn, and you just send them over there for a night, but you took them into your home. And John is saying, don't bring them into your home, and the first step in that is giving them a greeting. So giving them a greeting could be even be expanded beyond a greeting to a greeting that intimates to them that they are welcome in our home. We consider you a guest. And I think John is saying, don't give that kind of greeting. Don't give the kind of greeting that is an invitation to your house. You know those kind of greetings. Hello, won't you stay for a while? Y'all come back now, here? You're welcome here anytime. Won't you uns stay for a while? Using Southwest Virginia language. Any greeting which implies a trustworthiness, I want to be your friend, you're welcome in my home, is strictly forbidden. And thus, in the context, we are talking first about an imposter in the church who is a deceiver. And strictly speaking, we must not give him a greeting which implies that we approve of what he's doing. Because if we do, we have koinonia, the Greek term for fellowship, with him. Now that's dealing with the text in itself. Let's now deal with some examples. I've already dealt with the topic of separation from unbelievers. Let me say this. Just because we are not to live like them does not mean we can't give them a greeting, entertain them, or associate with them. My boss is a Muslim. Preacher, can I have him over for supper? Sure. Sure you can. God didn't mean that you couldn't. My boss is a false prophet. He claims to be a preacher. He got his MDiv degree from some writing company from California, and he doesn't believe that Jesus came forth from the grave. Should I have him over for dinner? No! Definitely not. Separation must not be taken too far. It must not be forced upon other Christians to the extent that we cannot work for a company, for example, that manufactures something that may be used down the line as something sinful. I've always used the first degree, second degree sin paradigm. First degree sin is my sin, and God's going to hold me account for that. Second degree sin may be mean I'm associating with somebody else or involved with somebody else that sins. That's his sin. That's not my sin. And we must be careful that we not go too far. For example, let's assume you work for a chemical company that makes a raw product that another company buys and produces in instruments that are used in abortions. Should you go to your boss and say, I cannot work for this company anymore. You know, I've got 8 children at home. They need food. And my wife is worried to death what I'm going to say at work. But I cannot work for this company anymore. Because the raw material that we use is bought by somebody else, is bought by somebody else, is bought by somebody else, and eventually it ends up in an abortion clinic, and I'm not going to be involved in sin. Well, I think that's going too far. Their sin is something they will be held accountable for. I didn't perform the abortion. I didn't approve of that. And if we're going to be so separated from everything that even touches sin, we're just going to have to leave the world. I mean, just pack your bags and go to some cave up in Southwest Virginia or East Tennessee and just start living the rest of your life because you're not going to avoid contact. So, my conclusion here this morning, John says there is a place for separation. There is a place where you say, there is no greeting for you in this home. There is no place for you in this house. But we must not go too far. And I hope we have not gone too far today. But I hope we've gone far enough to support sin, even without committing sin, is to fellowship in sin. And may God keep us wisely from such sin. Let us pray. O God, our Father, forgive us when we have gone too far. When we have written off association with the world who does not claim Christ as their Savior. And yet, O God, forgive us when we have not gone far enough and we have had fellowship with those who are false prophets and promote the deeds of the devil. Help us to understand the principle of separation and help us to apply it wisely. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.